have this treasure in earthly vessels at the expense of the power and making of God, and not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. For we who are alive are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Amen. Amen.
Sisters.
Good morning.
I was expecting a song, then I'll come forward, but it's fine. Alright, we are grateful to God for yet another opportunity. For me personally, moments like these are just a privilege, because who am I? I'm not even worthy to say this or that. But my prayer this morning is that God, in His mercy and grace, will use us as a vessel to proclaim His word to His glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So for us this morning, what will we be admonishing ourselves with is what has been written on the board, and that is finding peace in a troubled world. This morning during our lesson, the teacher spoke a lot about peace. He made emphasis. As he kept making emphasis, he keeps striking me because I actually wanted to talk about peace. But to God be the glory, we pray that His peace will be established in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Bible reading picture what we go through as Christians. Paul was talking about what he has been through as an apostle, as a disciple of Christ. He said, if you go back to that reading, he said from verse 7, and thank you, Brother Kelvin, for taking me to verse 11. He said, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. There's something the teacher mentioned this morning that I asserted, that it is all about the glory of God and not for ourselves. That is the things that we go through. He said, for we are troubled from every side, yet not distressed. So, today, I want us to find comfort in the experiences of the early Christian and see how we can manage and go through the storms and challenges of our own present life. Because it is inevitable, we just have to go through it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You see, many things, they were battered, but yet they were still standing. Today, we face all sorts of challenges, but what position do we find ourselves? Are we troubled? Are we disorganized? Are we disoriented? Are we falling into sin and temptation because of the things, of the struggle that we go through? He said, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life that also of Jesus might be made manifest. And back to it again. It's all for the glory of God. Our present world is full of chaos and unrest. I cannot continue to emphasize, the teacher has spoke about the war that is going on around us, the is everywhere. I can practically say, I remember my son was talking about the last time he watched news, because back home, I used to watch news, so I deprived them for watching their regular cartoons. So that it was a Ukraine war. So you turn to your TV, your radio, and all you can hear of is unrest and chaos. That is in our physical or material world. You can imagine how much negative event, enough to trouble our soul, enough to disturb us, enough to snatch away our peace. Recently, indeed, last week, we heard of a boy that was butchered with a sword. Maybe you heard of the story. There is fear everywhere, within and without, on the streets. And that is talking about our material world. But what does Jesus tell us? Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, that we should be of good cheer, he has overcome the world. Even though we are encompassed by so much of this stress and unrest in our society and in our private lives, Jesus has overcome the world. Across the world, there are thousands of peace organizations. You talk of UNESCO, United Nations, European Union, all in the effort to make peace. But all of these, to keep a global peace, but what do we have? We have war, we have unrest, economic, political struggle. Similarly, in our personal and spiritual life, we have a lot that we struggle with. But let's take Romans chapter 8 from 18 to 22. It reads, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature awaited the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature is made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." If you look at this passage critically, God has designed the world to be this way, so that his glory will be manifested. Looking at the story of Pharaoh and the Israelites, the Bible told us that God hardened his heart. There is a new thing about Moses, and I watched the film. It's about 8 episodes. And I looked at how the man go back after repenting that, okay, you people can go. He just came back and he said, no, you can't go again. And so Moses went back to God and said, why? He said, don't worry, I have made him hard. So all of these things is for the glory of God to be manifested in our life. As Christians, we have our daily struggle. Is it finances, family issues, doubt, uncertainty? A lot of us are afraid of what happens tomorrow, what happens to me in 1 year or two. We struggle with sin and temptation, health challenges, So many of us walk around with our health issues. All of these things erode our peace. But can we still find peace in spite of all of this trouble? Because if you go back to that Romans chapter 8, he said, for the creature is made subject to futility. That is how God has created, so that we can manifest his glory. During the lesson, the teacher was talking about how what we go through, we sometimes want to find solutions. But rather, in Jesus' admonition, he said, your reward is in heaven. He said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We often find ways and means of comfort, but forget to rest in the will of God, which will bring glory to himself. As Christians, we struggle through in relationships. A lot of us, maybe father, parent and children, husband and wife, even in the church, in the community, we have so much unrest with different relationships. Hardship. Yes, in this society, you may not see hardship, but I can tell you that some people go through hardship. Some of the people you see on the road, sometimes some of them are very genuine and they are going through serious life struggle. Spiritual weakness. A lot of us know, especially when we come to churches regularly, we hear this word, but yet the ability to do is not there. Is it your own struggle? Spiritual weakness, conflict and division. We go to many homes and we see conflict, argument, contention. Even in Christian community, in the church, we see argument, we see murmuring. These are sources of wear, unrest, and peace that we struggle with on a daily basis. We struggle with our identity. Who am I? Am I already man? Do anybody see me? Self-worth. Those are the things that troubles our mind. Unforgiveness. Reconciliation. A lot of us are burdened with so much unforgiveness in our hearts. And guilt to be forgiven. Fear and anxiety are things that erode our peace. But with all of these realities in our world, can we still find peace? Can we still find comfort? And that takes me to the purpose of this sermon. The purpose of this lesson is to give us comfort and hope in our struggle. Because if you go to our private lives, we all have what we struggle with. We all have what we want to do. We all have what we want to achieve. We all have what we desire to come to pass in our lives. Our intention is to give ourselves comfort and hope in our struggle, in our challenges, and the courage to fight and to remain steadfast in our faith and in our trust in God. Let's take a few examples of how believers, disciples, and followers of Christ and of God manage their struggle in their time of challenge. A good example is that of King David. You will remember that David was a shepherd boy who wandered in the forest with his sheep, and he faced a lot of challenges. even enemies and danger of the wild animal. He wrote a psalm, Psalm 23. Let's read. It's a very short psalm, and I remember it used to be one of our memory verses when we were small, but we grew up and forget some of these beautiful psalms. Psalm 23 is just 6 verses. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Verse 4, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Can we profess words like this in our daily struggle? "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Imagine yourself, maybe in your workplace or in your home, or people around, they are like vulture, vampire, always raising accusation or making life uncomfortable for you. Why don't we take solace in a psalm like this? It says, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David found peace in the midst of the struggle. He trusted in God in the midst of hardship and danger. Despite the enemies, the threats, David was confident in God that he will provide and care, and these bring him inner peace and assurance. By leaning on God's assurance and confidence of his provision and protection, we can find peace. Similarly, we read of the story of Paul and Silas, how they were captured and imprisoned. The Bible told us that they found peace and courage to sing praises and even in prayer to God. Today, we can find solace even in our struggle, even in our challenges, to sing and to pray. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 40. The Bible told us that despite being beaten, despite being thrown into prison, and they are facing execution, life, the Bible told us that all through the night they were singing praises, praying, and of course, God's miraculous deliverance came and they were set free. It even led to the salvation of the jailer and his household. How much effort do we put into singing praises when troubles come? How much effort do we put into saying word of prayer? Prayer works magic. Do you still believe in miracles? Miracles happen, but you need to ask with faith. They were able to experience God's miraculous deliverance by finding peace and comfort in prayer and praises to God. only source of true peace. Because of the struggle of our life, people, we find peace through different forms, putting things into our hand. Like the teacher told us, we look for the solution rather than finding comfort and in reliance on God's salvation. God, the Bible told us, is the only source of true peace. Going back to the teacher, he said, quietness does not guarantee peace. Is that correct? So because there was no noise, so many people lie down in a very cozy bed, but without sleep. Is that possible? Yeah, people live in mansions with guards everywhere, and yet they still live in fear. Isaiah told us that God is the source, only source of truth. Let's read Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1 to 4. Prophet Isaiah 26, 1 to 4. And in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will be God, a point for war and bulwark. Open ye gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed in thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, the Bible told us that be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, we should make our requests known unto God. In that sermon, he said, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You will even wonder, what is going on? Why am I so happy? Or people may even wonder, what does he have? Or why is she feeling important? My dear brothers and sisters, it is the peace of God. The Bible says, it is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In John 14, 27, let's read it. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, his peace he gave to them, not as the world giveth. Yes, there are peace. People can offer promises. People can offer your job, can guarantee. They call it job security. But is it secure? You know, when we were younger, we thought that by the time we grow up, we start making money, that I get married, and I have, and I can buy a beautiful car, and I have a house of my own, then I will be okay. Is that alright? Has it ended there? No. The more you grow, the more you challenge. And I can tell you, it is the way of God. So that his glory will be manifest in your life. Heaven is not somewhere we will walk into by chance. You must have walked for it. The Bible says, in the last day, the books will be opened, and we shall be judged by the things we have done. I tell you, as much as salvation is by grace, but we have to walk for it. He said, not as the world gives. The peace the world gives is transient. It doesn't last forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, call it emptiness, pursuing of pleasure, wealth, success, which only lasts for a season. This building was somebody's dream. But where are they today? Your fine shoe, maybe your wedding shoe. I remember when I got married, we both beautiful gown. And my wife came to somewhere. I'm sure she never wore it again. Apart from that day. You understand? So no matter the comfort and the peace, or the joy, or the success of this world, it only lasts for a season. But the true peace and comfort is only found in God. How can we find peace? How can we find peace in all of this? There was a day I was speaking with a sister, and I said, coming to church is not performance. It's not as if we're coming here to show our appearances. We are not coming here. There are so many words of powerful words of comfort and consolation and guide that we can make use of. So oftentimes it feels as if the words go through here and it comes out here. And I keep asking myself, during the lesson, most especially, there is a question that keep rolling through my mind. Whose is this lesson? Who? I wish I could look back and see who is this words for? Then I realized they were all for me. I hope you feel the same way. When we come out, the Bible admonishes us. It said that our salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Oftentimes we see this world in a second person or in the third person. We don't personalize this world. And that is the reason why we never see our wrong and we never live a better life. If it's only one day you can make things right, I beg of us, let's ensure that we do the right thing. Because tomorrow is not for us. And that is why, I remember a small boy was telling me that, do you know why they call it present? Today is present. Because it's a gift. You may never have tomorrow. So why don't we just give our best in serving God? How can we find peace? First, by seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge. We have to seek for knowledge. We don't know everything. The book of James chapter 1 verse 5. James 1 5. Anybody, please. Anybody can read it. We should not be shy to read the Bible. Anyone that sees it, please read. James 1 5.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That he gets to all men given and of credit not, and he shall be given him.
Thank you. If anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask of God. Read it up to 7.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord.
For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Another way we can find peace is by adding to our faith. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, 5-10, the Bible admonishes us that we should add unto our faith. It mentions about 5 different things, or maybe 7, that we should add to our faith. Because knowing God and believing in Him is not enough. We have to grow in our faith so that we can receive the crown of life. And he said, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. 8. For if these things are bound, they make you that you are neither barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can find peace by seeking help in prayer. Prayer is a very wonderful thing. Have we given our time to pray? Pray for the situation, this situation that I'm going through. Lord, I need your help. I used to have a boss. She usually says, you have to make yourself vulnerable for you to find solution. Oftentimes, like a guy say, we got it. No, you don't. We need to seek for help. We need to show ourselves as helpless so that God can come to our rescue. Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7. By thanksgiving, we read of the story of Paul and Silas. They were singing praises. Let's learn to sing praises. No matter what, I was in the bus yesterday, and a woman came into the bus. I was wondering what she must have been going through, and tears flowed through her eyes. I was wondering, I wish I could help. I wish I can ask her, what is the problem? But I could not. And she said that a man asked her, are you okay? She said, okay, and she quickly wiped her. I'm sure there's a lot going through her mind. But we can find solace in songs of thanksgiving. Let's learn to sing praises. We all hold these devices. We can play praise songs. And I can tell you, it will minister into your heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 to 18, the Bible admonishes us to pray without ceasing. We should seek godly counsel. This is the part that a lot of us miss out. We should never feel we know it all. We should seek advice. I was in the Bible class within the week, and the teacher mentioned that seeking godly counsel is valuable. Some people say that one of the problems we have in the Church of Christ is because we don't have psychoanalysts or what they call them, therapists. No. I think we don't need them. Because the knowledge of this world can never surpass the knowledge of. The word of God is rich, is full, is perfect. Everyone that knows the scripture can guide you. It is not their knowledge, it is the grace and mercy of God that is abound in the scripture. The scripture is rich and full. The Bible says, all scripture is written by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The people of this world, the analysts of this world, they only analyze based on their material knowledge. But spiritual counsel will guide you with spiritual knowledge. So let us find comfort in seeking spiritual counsel in our situation, and God will see us through, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For your reading, you can write it down, Proverbs 11, 14. Another way we can find peace is to let go and let God. Somebody make a joke that oftentimes when we are coming to church, we all come with our suitcases, our bags of burden. But unfortunately, when we are going home, we still grab them back. Why? We should let it go. We should let it go. He said, cast your body let it go. And you know, it's not easy when the reality is tearing you in the face. It's not easy, but you, that is why we need grace, we need help. God, I need your help. Please help me. And it works. It works. So we have to be willing to let it go. If it's yours, it will always be yours. If it's not yours, it was never meant to be. Let us have that comfort in the word of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Another way we can keep peace is by maintaining peaceful relationships rooted in love and forgiveness. I said the other time that oftentimes we look at situation from the second person, third person. We don't personalize it. So many scriptures talk about managing crisis. The Bible usually addresses you. It doesn't address the person. When Jesus said, if somebody strikes you on the right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Remember, upside down. I heard it for the first time in my life. You see, all these words, I just pray. I pray that God, please help me. Me. Say your own. Say of yourself. God, help me to make use of these words. Let them be mine. We should stop looking at situation from the second person. Let's make it ours. We should seek peace and pursue it. We should maintain peaceful relationships that are rooted in love and forgiveness. In 1 Corinthians 13, he describes love, endures all things, believes all things, and such like. Let's make conscious efforts to work on ourselves, and the peace of God will be our portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We should pursue peace. We should be an advocate for peace. And finally, we should turn away from our love. The Bible says that, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If you are caught in a wrong, oftentimes we see it and we deliberately ignore it. Rather, we look at the others. For us to find true peace in this life and in our situation, we have to turn away from our wrong. We cannot continue in doing wrong and expect that the peace of God will reign. Let's take Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. Romans 6, 1 to 2. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? In conclusion, my brethren, let's read Book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Anyone that sees.
Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless his word in Jesus' name.